Amen, choir. Thank you for that. Well, today we finish up the study we began some 6-7 weeks ago, I think, because of the snow Sunday, on Adam Hamilton's revival. And I don't know about you, but I really have enjoyed reliving and relooking at the life of John Wesley and some of the things that happened in the life of the founder of the Methodist movement and what that has to teach us. Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. And if you don't, you're welcome to listen. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to begin with verse 10 and read through verse 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His Word, and let us pray together. We thank You, gracious God, for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith to lift our hearts and our voices up to You in worship. We thank You, Lord, for the way that Your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far, and we pray that Your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be Your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that You would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that You have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that Your word would dig deeply within our hearts, that it would transform us from the inside out. And all this we ask, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus that we've offered this prayer this morning, saying, Amen. You know, persecution is not something that American Christians in particular experience. With the cultural crisis that's going on right now, notwithstanding, most of us have never been in fear of losing our lives, of being injured, of being attacked because of our Christian faith. This, of course, was not true for the early followers of Jesus. You'll remember that in the early church, they were persecuted for many years by the Roman government. And it was not true for the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley. John Wesley had the experience as he began to go out and preach in the fields, as he began to get out of the church and go out and preach at the coal mines and the other places that he went to, of having some really unpleasant things happen to him. People would scream and try to shout him and drown him out. Occasionally, some of the priests and the people in the towns that he went to would hire rabble-rousers to come in and stir things up. They would throw rotten produce at John while he was preaching, and rocks and manure. Now, I don't think Mary Noble and I have ever had that experience of, at least not literally, of people, you know, throwing manure at us. But this really shaped who John Wesley was, this persecution, this idea that he had to keep going and persevering no matter what. You'll remember that John Wesley learned this from his father, Samuel. He learned this perseverance growing up as a young man. But it's interesting to me to think about persecution and to think about perseverance and how important it is for us to persevere. Can you imagine, knowing what you know now about the Methodist movement, can you imagine what would have happened if John Wesley had just given it all up and quit when he was on that boat coming from Savannah, Georgia, back to England, depressed, knowing that he'd failed? Can you imagine if John had just given up when somebody threw things at him, when he was attacked, when he was physically beaten? Can you imagine what it would have been like if John had stopped? And the lesson for us, brothers and sisters, is that we must be people of perseverance. Often we don't think too much about perseverance through the obstacles that are thrown at us in this life. And even though we don't face physical persecution, it's just not the easiest thing, is it, to live in the world that we live in, to go into the business world, to go out in your jobs and wherever you go, and to really live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We might not be in physical harm, but it still is very difficult. And it reminds me of how many times in my own life I've wanted to quit one thing or the other. And sometimes it has happened that I have felt so persecuted, so angry, so frustrated at the state of whatever was going on in the church that occasionally I wanted to just up and quit too. The thing that I understand about perseverance, not only from being in the ministry, but from being a Christian for many, many years, is that you must persevere through the tough times, because the tough times never last. Amen? They never last. And typically when there's a really tough time in our life, and when there's a time that we just want to hang it up, we just want to give it up, if we persevere through that, all of a sudden, right around the corner, just like the rainbow, after the storm come the blessings. And John Wesley found this out in his life when he got to be in his 60s, 70s, and 80s. And John lived to be 87, which was remarkable for a man in the 1700s to live that long. He moved from being a persecuted person, a person who was seen as a danger to society and the church, to being revered because millions and millions of people, their lives were changed because of what John Wesley did. But John Wesley was not afraid. He was not afraid to speak the truth. And this is what caused some of his persecution. I want to read to you from the sermon he preached called Scriptural Christianity in 1744 at St. Mary's Church in Oxford. When I was in England a couple of years ago, I got to go to this church. It's a beautiful, beautiful church, okay? The pulpit, you have to walk up steps to get up to it. And Oxford has several colleges in it, Oxford in England, and one of those is training for ministers, okay? So John Wesley said these words to people who were already priests, who were teaching people to be clergy and to potential clergy, and this is what he said. May it not be one of the consequences of this that so many of you are a generation of triflers, triflers with God, with one another, and with your own souls. For how few of you spend from one week to another a single hour in private prayer? How few of you have any thought of God in the general tenor of your conversation? Who of you is in any degree acquainted with the work of God's Spirit, His supernatural works in the souls of human beings? Can you bear, unless now and then in a church, any talk of the Holy Ghost? Would you not take it for granted if one began such a conversation that it was either quote-unquote hypocrisy or quote-unquote enthusiasm? In the name of the Lord God Almighty, I ask, what religion are you of? Even the talk of Christianity you cannot, will not bear, O my brothers. What Christian city is this? It is time for thee, Lord, to lay thine hand. Well, is it any surprise that John Wesley was never invited to preach at Oxford ever again after that? No wonder he had to go out and preach in the fields and the coal mines. But brothers and sisters, it really speaks to me because I think that the part of the issue with trying to exercise our faith, with trying to follow Jesus in our time, is not so much that we are persecuted, but it's that we are not really persecuted. We have made Christianity easy. All you have to do is come to church, you put a little money in the offering plate, you go to Sunday school every now and then, you try to be nice to other people within reason, and you're good. And it reminds me of this poster that somebody sent me this week. Calvin, if you can bring that up. Somebody sent this to me this week, and it kind of reminded me of where we are. You'll see it's a picture of a dog laying on a couch, and this is what it says. We were wolves once, wild and wary, stealth and cunning. Then we noticed you had couches. Then we noticed you had couches. And often, brothers and sisters, we as Christians, we bark every now and then and try to remember about having a little fire, but most of the time we're content to just lay on the couch. We're content to do the minimum that is required. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly what John Wesley dedicated his whole life to railing against. The Church of England was very content. It was very comfortable. If you don't know anything about the Church of England, it is the state-sponsored church in England. It has been for some time and still is today. And they had really become complacent and comfortable. And they stopped worrying about people outside the walls of the church. And there was much more concern about what was going on inside the church, and that the church was beautiful, and that the priest and the ministers were taken care of, and they worried less and less about the world. And into this, my brothers and sisters, comes John Wesley saying, this is not right. This is not right. You'll remember that we talked in the second sermon of this series about Wesley's fear that he would be and we would be almost Christians. We'd be almost there. We do so much and then we just kind of lay back. And you'll remember that he said that we must not be almost Christians, but we should be altogether Christians. That we should be pursuing our faith with some of the excitement that a lot of us are now pursuing watching March Madness. Amen. We should be excited, and we should be people who are willing to do what is necessary for our faith, to do what is necessary, to go above and beyond, to be able to reach out and not to be content with how things are. The great writer C.S. Lewis said once, it seems as though most of us are like children playing on a beach in front of the sea, making mud pies and being very content with what little water washes up on shore, when right behind us is the great majesty and power of the ocean. And we're making mud pies. We're making mud pies. So brothers and sisters, I hope that this intentional time that we've had of revival will remind us of what it is that God is calling us to do. And the fact that it is a great privilege to follow Jesus in a country where we are not going to be persecuted, at least not physically. At least not physically. Even though our brothers and sisters around the world, our Christian brothers and sisters around the world do continue to face death, to face martyrdom, to face prison sentences, sometimes long prison sentences, for their exercise of the faith. My friends, it's time for us to get up off the couch and to remember who we are and whose we are. Because it is not until we, as the people of God, rededicate ourselves to following the precepts of Jesus Christ, to remembering what John Wesley taught about grace and how important grace is, not just to us, but to the world around us, and to not be satisfied ever with where we are. Because John Wesley at any point could have given up, he could have stopped, he could have been satisfied with where things were, but he continued to preach, to teach, to talk about grace, to endure beatings, being pelted with rocks and all sorts of other things, because he was so fervent in his desire that people know the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And he would not stop. He would not stop. It did not stop until he took his last breath at age 87. What's our perseverance like, brothers and sisters? What's our perseverance like? Are we people who are willing to give up at the least thing? Are we willing to be people who are bold and who talk about our faith, or will we rather just not get into it? Are we satisfied with just going through the motions of our practice, of our religion? Or are we continuing to ask God for more and to be willing to grow, to be willing to grow in sanctifying grace, to be willing to ask God for more and to do more and to serve more? Brothers and sisters, I pray that we might hear the call of John Wesley over all these years, because his call echoes in our ears too. Have we become so comfortable? Have we become so at ease with who we are that we have lost the very passion that we may have once had, the very passion to reach the world for Jesus Christ, the very passion to not be satisfied with the condition of the world as it is, but to go out and to really believe that we are inaugurating the kingdom of God one person at a time, to be willing to do what is necessary to fight the systemic evils of our world, to not say people in poverty are there and it's their own fault, but instead, as John Wesley taught, to go out and to understand that it's not all about personal piety, but it's also about reaching out in Jesus' name and making a difference. My friends, we are marching to Zion. We are going somewhere. We are people on a journey, and we've got to keep walking with Jesus all the days of our lives. And we can't be satisfied with what we've had, because with God, there's always more. There's always more to be done. Until that day that Jesus comes to us and inaugurates the kingdom with the new heaven and the new earth. Brothers and sisters, we got a lot of work to do. Are we ready? Are we ready to go? Are we willing to be the people that would make a difference? Because what you now know is that is our heritage as Methodist people. It is our heritage to be people who love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, and to not be satisfied with the way things are, but to be willing to go out into our world and make a difference. I pray that we might hear the call of John Wesley that simply echoed the call of Jesus Christ to persevere, to do what we need to do, and to make a difference, so that this world we live in will be different because you and I heard the call of Jesus Christ and responded to that call. And may we never, ever, 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 did I say enough? Ever, ever, ever forget about the grace and the love that we have in Jesus Christ. Because we live in a world that needs to hear that message perhaps more than the world has ever needed to hear it. A message of a God who loves, a God who pours out grace, a God who is not willing that one person should perish, but that all should come into the kingdom. Will we be satisfied with laying on the couch, or will we remember who we really are and what God is calling us to do together? I pray that we will. Amen.